Welcome to the Upcycle Canada podcast. I'm Jennifer, and together with my husband Dave, we started with an idea, worked on it as a side hustle, and grew it into our first eco-friendly store. At Upcycle Canada, we repurpose, refinish, and reuse discarded items, giving them new life. Sit in on the conversation as we continue to grow from a small side hustle into something much more. Special guests will drop by and share their journey with you as well. This is the most eco-friendly small business podcast in your favorites. This is Upcycle Canada, where yesterday's items are reborn. Let's do this.
I'm Matt Cuthbert from the Niagara Furniture Bank, and I'm on the Upcycle podcast and excited to be here.
Excellent. Hey, Matt, it's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You're looking so regal today.
I don't know about regal. I look more like Hagrid, but I don't know about regal.
It's a Sunday morning, and it's, you know, we're trying to pull ourselves together. And I know you were saying you work a lot of hours in all the things that you do, and to make some time for us today, I really appreciate it. It's great.
I always make time for you guys. You guys are great. You know, having you guys in the community too. I mean, you know, taking old things and making them as amazing as you guys do. I don't know how you do it, because I can't match colors, let alone an outfit. So awesome for what you guys can turn some pretty cool things into. So yeah, it's really fun to be here. So thank you.
Okay. So, the Niagara Furniture Bank is here in St. Catharines. When did all this start, Matt?
So Niagara Furniture Bank was incepted in 2008, way before I was here. And it was actually started by just a local bunch of gentlemen who just they just found a need with some individuals who were attending a church and didn't have anything for their apartment. So they kind of got together with a truck and loaded it up with some furniture from each one of their houses and then dropped it off. They then got together and said, hey, we should do this a little bit more steadily. And it's grown and grown since then. I took over just over 2.5 years ago. And we've gone to our next stage where, you know, we've tripled our service numbers. We've done some pretty neat things just to expand our capacity and other programs, and having some great people, join in with us. As you know, Cicely from Brock University has started an amazing project through us to help restore some furniture that we wouldn't be able to, so that we can get it out to those in need. So yeah, it's just been really neat to see the expansion and just watch a community come together just as they gain knowledge of what we do. So yeah, it's been a really good ride.
It's interesting. So I think we were talking before we hit record that one of the questions you get at Niagara Furniture Bank often is if you guys are an actual store, like a retail place.
Yeah.
And so can you explain how this kind of works?
Yeah. So we're not a retail store, or a thrift store. It kind of gives us that level. What we do is we actually vet either through agency or through ourselves for those in need. So we have three streams that individuals can kind of come to us. Our first stream is through government agencies, Ontario Works and Ontario Disability. And on behalf of the client, they will submit an application for furnishings to us. And then we organize with the client, the size of their shelter, their apartment or house, or what they're in need of. We put it together, we get it out to them, and they can move forward from there. We also work with 86 care partners within the Niagara region. So just examples would be the shelters, Jillian's Place, Start Me Up Niagara. These just, local agencies that are representing individuals who are experiencing poverty in our community. They go through the same kind of referral process, being kind of an advocate for the client, and go through the same process and we get them out. The last way is what we call our internal referral. So this, we just developed this actually last November. And it's for those individuals who are experiencing poverty but don't have an agency or a government agency representing them. The example I use all the time is an individual who's working a couple part-time jobs, but just making enough to put food on the table and cover rent or the necessities of life. doesn't really have the money to put a brand new bed or this in their house. We look at average pricing to furnish a one bedroom apartment, and you're looking at around $4,000 when everything's said and done. And that's that's just the big items. That's not, you know, the cutlery or things like that. So we welcome those individuals to go to our website, and they can fill out actually an online application form for furnishings, for subsidy for furnishings. And we work directly with them. Our case manager works directly with them to make sure that they are in need. We have checks and balances that we have to meet. And then two, what their apartment size and what we can do to help them out and how to facilitate. So we really try and reach the broad base. So that kind of differentiates us from being a store or a thrift store is every client that we help, we use a methodology to make sure that they are in need. The neat thing is we get those individuals from the community who love, you know, older pieces, who, you know, love to do the upcycling, or they want that piece to be in their space. And that's when we point them in your guys' direction, because we don't take those nice big one pieces or those intricate unique pieces, because our end users can't use them. You know, the credenzas, the hutches, the entertainment units that I don't even know how you guys turn into what you turn into, but the last one I saw was unreal. It did not look like an entertainment unit when it was all said and done. So it's really neat that we can also offer that service to the community when they call us is, hey, you know, maybe you should check out these individuals, or, you know, this is a way that you can do it. And then too, just giving them that piece of, you know, you may want something, or you may want that unique piece, but do you have any furnishings or stuff that you're not using that's kind of stuffed in the back of your basement or in your garage? You know, those end tables from grandma's house that you don't know what to do with. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd love those items so that we can get it out to those in need within the community. So
it's spring cleaning time right now. It's like the end of April, almost the beginning of May.
Yep.
People are starting to get the itch to start cleaning up the house and do some purging.
Yep.
Is there items that are commonly requested but rarely arrive at the furniture bank?
Yeah, we have some really good working deals. We work on a social enterprise model. So we have a working order with some of the bed manufacturers who donate beds to us. So we don't actually have to, you know, get the 10, 15-year-old mattresses from people in the community, which is great. Not that we don't appreciate those mattresses, but those are things that we just don't run short on. The things that we run short on all the time are dressers. I can't tell you how many times we put out calls for dressers, and that's most orders that we do for our clients require a dresser. And most people hang on to their dressers for a very long time. And why wouldn't you? Usually they're very well built and you know, they have a very good purpose. So dressers we run short on. The other things are the smaller end tables or bedside tables for larger furniture items, you know, tables and things like that. We usually have a fairly good supply of, which is excellent. The last thing, and this is one of the things that, again, getting the word out to the community, which is why we appreciate being on, you know, podcasts and things like this, is the small items that we do take. So we don't just get furnishings out to individuals and clients. We get housewares as well. So we will get spoons, forks, knives, sets out to individuals. We also do the small appliances. And that's where our biggest ask comes, especially from those transitioning from women's shelters, is the microwaves, the kettles, and the toasters. And it's not necessarily, you know, for cooking food. It's more for preparation of formula or these types of things. And that was one thing when I came into the job I just didn't think of. Again, I don't have kids, so I never made formula or anything like that.
Yeah.
So it's just those neat things that you find out as you go along. So those are where our big needs are, is those items, is the dressers, the end tables, the microwaves, the kettles, the toasters, coffee makers, even too. because they're the most used during the day by our clients and, you know, by everyone. You know, I can't even count how many times I go into my dresser during the day when I need to change. So, those are where our big things come in. So as we go along with spring cleaning, you know, we encourage our public, our building, which, like you said, we're in St. Catharines at 211 Church Street. We have a drop-off door open from 9 until 3, Monday through Friday. Each month we have one Saturday where we're open 9 to 1, where we'll also collect too, and that's on our events in our website. It's free for people to drop off to us. They just ring the doorbell at the double doors and we'll come out. The neat thing that we also are able to do, because we are a charity, is we're able to issue a fair market value tax receipt for every item that is donated. So, you know, you bring us a dresser, you're going to get a tax receipt for your dresser. And the fair market values are on our website. So I won't say numbers so people don't quote me on it. And then we also offer pickup services. Unfortunately, we do have a small service charge for, and that's just, you know, fuel and insurance and on our trucks, they do cost something. You know, we weren't expecting a 41% increase in fuel this year, but, you know, just for an example, for us to pick up, larger items, sofas, beds, that kind of stuff, is $20. You know, dressers and tables and things like this, it's only $10 for us to come and pick up. And your smaller items, are $5. You know, if you have a box with, you know, a couple of small appliances in there, it's just $5 for us to come and pick up. That's outside. If you do need us to come inside and collect the items, unfortunately, there is a little bit of a service charge, and that's just we have to pay our insurance for entering a home. And again, don't quote me on that. My team knows a little bit more than that than I do. But that's how we make it work. And again, you get a fair market value tax receipt for everything we do collect as well. So knowing that, if we pick up a sofa, which I know off the top of my head is a $200 tax receipt, you know, to pay for $20, you're more than cover, you know, the actual cash that's coming out of pocket when it comes to tax time and deductible time. So, yeah.
That's good. Well, I'm glad that you're covering your costs too, and that by people donating, it's not causing you less options as far as helping more people, right? When you have to start paying out of pocket to do all that. That's smart to have that. And one thing we had Cicely on for a podcast episode earlier. Super nice. Love talking to Cicely. And during our chat with her, we were talking about the supplies that she uses for what she does to help you guys. So we donate some paint from Upcycle Canada to help you guys out here and there. And she uses that to do the furniture, but she needs brushes and rollers and things like that just to do the work. So we suggested to Cicely to consider on Amazon creating a public list of all the things that she needs on a regular basis. So if somebody's listening to this podcast and they live in Oklahoma and they want to help you guys out, that they could access maybe this list and send her some paintbrushes. Click and send it right to you.
So
I'm thinking like for your office supplies, I'm thinking for a toaster, you know, maybe that's another avenue that people can help.
It's definitely a great avenue for us. We actually, we just had our board meeting on Tuesday, and just from the idea that you guys had chatted about, well, after hearing it, I'm like, that's a good idea. So I posed it to our board and they were actually unanimous in approving it. So it will be something that we'll be launching very shortly, which is great. It's awesome. The one thing that kind of slows us down a little bit as a charity is making sure our board is in group with what, you know, what we want to do. But having those avenues with, you know, with Amazon, like you said, you know, there are people that contact us from, we've had a contact from San Francisco. Just, I don't know how they heard about it. They just said, oh, we've found you through the internet, blah, blah, blah. How can we help? You know, right now, the only thing we really have for individuals to help us is our Canada Helps page to donate funds, which is great. But, you know, some people don't want to donate just funds. And I get that. I totally understand that. They would much rather know that they purchased, like you said, a toaster and it's going to someone in need. So it was a great avenue that you guys came up with. And this is why I surround myself with people that are smarter than me, like yourself, Dave, who can come up with these great ideas so that we can help more people, because it does facilitate that additional help. So yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah, I'm just imagining the doorbell goes off and there's a box and you have photocopy paper, pens, markers,
yep,
paper clips. These are things that show up. These are things that you ask, a pair of scissors, and somebody somewhere just buys it and sends it to you. Yep. You know, like that just takes another whole level off of your day-to-day operations, right? And just shows up.
Yeah, so no, those avenues are great avenues. And like I said, that's why, you know, it's, I say this to a lot of my counterparts too. You know, one thing in not-for-profit world is we tend to try and silo ourselves. If you know, you're doing food service, you just do food service, and I've been doing it well for so long, and this is the way I do it. And my view is totally different, is, you know, listen to other people who know how to do things really, really well. Cause, I mean, even watching our websites and stuff like this grow, I have a 19-year-old who, you know, is doing the framework and stuff for our website. He's amazing at it. He does things that I'm lucky if I can turn my cell phone on, for crying out loud. And, you know, he can write code and do all these things in, you know, less than 5 minutes. So, you know, it's knowing that, you know, there are individuals out there at any age, at any style, from any background, that can have great ideas and recommendations, and not to be closed off to it and really, you know, listen to it, because there are so many opportunities out there that we don't know about, you know, and we welcome them, you know, having the support in the community, having support from, you know, Upcycle mm-hmm. Canada is fantastic for us. You know, it's, you know, you guys, every time we do a post, you'll share it, you mention us. I mean, that stuff just goes a long way, because you guys have a lot of great reach, because you're great people as well. So it's nice to have that.
Yeah. It's all about community, right? It's there's wisdom in the council of many. That's a saying I've heard before, right? Yeah. So as you surround, like you said, you surround yourself with people who can help you and support you. And I like to think of, there's three people in my life I need, Matt. I need somebody ahead of me that I can look up to, look forward and grow towards. I need somebody beside me, you know, kind of like a cohort, somebody that's kind of in the same boat that I'm in, but also somebody behind me that I can reach behind and bring along as well, right? Those are the three types of people that I need in my life. So that if we surround ourselves with people like that, it's just going to make us better people. And awesome. Like you said, if you silo yourself, it's going to make things a lot difficult yourself.
And too, understanding the processes and things that are involved. I mean, not for profit is not where I came from. I came from a very large corporate, extremely large corporate, to be honest, and to come into the not for profit world and watch it and, you know, really try to drive collaboration. Our clients don't just need furnishings. Our clients don't just need housewares. You know, they need other supports. So what is it for us when we deliver, you know, a bed to someone, to include a pamphlet that says, hey, if you need, you know, some help with a resume, here's a list of individuals that you can.
Nice.
You know, letting them know what 2-1-1 is about, letting them know what supports are out there. And even advocating too, you know, if you need us to call, we'll be happy to make the call and, you know, that first connection or help with, you know, getting you enrolled in those programs, because why wouldn't we? We want to see that client be successful. Our whole entire mandate is, you know, our mission is a world where no one sleeps on the floor.
But I love that, our mission, by the way.
How much do we take for granted, you know, going out to, you know, going into our bed and going to bed at night, you know, we take it so much for granted for those who are sleeping, you know, in other circumstances. So it's just neat to be able to do that. But in knowing that is, you know, everything that is offered by our care partners and by people out there is, you know, it's not our job, but it's one of our mandates to collaborate so that we can get individuals more help. We're not giving them a handout, but we're giving them a hand up.
Yeah.
We're giving them the opportunity to better themselves. We're giving them the opportunities to, you know, to be successful. And if we can do that, you know, with furnishings and housewares, and then with a little bit of knowledge about other organizations or other resources to them, why wouldn't we?
So the other side of this too, then, Matt, would be the fundraising side. It's great to have the donations. It's great when people step up and donate physical product, but there's finances that are also included in this. How do you raise most of your finances, and what's your biggest need right now?
So finances is always one of those things. Again, any not-for-profit and any charity is going to tell us or tell you that. Our unique services, again, all the way from Fort Erie all the way to Halton Region, there isn't another furniture bank. We are the only one. Wow. We're the only one that supplies furnishings and housewares to those in need. There's not anyone else. So, you know, and knowing that and knowing what our services offer, they offer the stability of housing. They offer the safety. You know, people don't feel safe going into just an empty house. You know, it's having, you know, things around them that allow them to feel comfortable, allow them to have a comfortable sleep. We know the impacts of poor sleep on our health, whether it's you or me, or whether it's someone who's in crisis. You know, we know these things. Yeah. Knowing that, you know, we do carry a higher overhead than most nonprofits. One of the things that isn't understood is because we issue tax receipts for each item that we collect, those tax receipts actually count as income or revenue. So the government actually counts them as revenue. So during the pandemic, where organizations could apply for different subsidies and different grants, because everyone cleaned out their house and dropped off and got us to collect their furniture, our revenue looked like it was higher. And it actually wasn't. Our monetary was actually lower, but our net revenue looked like it was higher. So we couldn't apply for these assistances during COVID.
Yeah.
So, you know, we make it work because we know the value of what we do. And having people who I can get in front of and have the conversation and say, hey, you know, this is what gas prices are. This is what it takes to operate a truck. And this is what it takes to operate a labor force, because we just have to have individuals who can move sofas and things like this into apartments. And not to, you know, not to slight other not-for-profits or charities, but our physical demand is much higher just because of the nature of the work that we do. And that means the costs associated are much higher. Our fuel costs are higher. Our truck costs are higher. Our insurance is higher. These costs are higher. So our revenue is definitely important. So having those private donors is extremely important to us. The next is our events. So on July 17th, we will have our first annual golf tournament at Beechwood in Niagara Falls. And that's just, you know, another way that we can spread the word, you know, have a good time with some people who believe in what we do, but also, you know, generate those needed funds so that we can help support more people in our community. We'll do a gala in the fall. And again, our gala is number one, you know, to thank everyone for, you know, believing in us and helping us and perpetuate through, give the information too about what we've done. I mean, everyone wants to know. I mean, we supplied 3,200 individuals in Niagara with beds last year. I mean, that's not a small amount of people. You know, so doing those things we can be really proud of, and we want to let people know, you know, if they're donating those money to us, that's, you know, this is what it's going directly to, you know, where it's not going directly to, you know, large marketing costs or, you know, big billboards or anything like this. It's going directly to support those individuals in need. You know, it's amazing when we found out, you know, just before Christmas, the holidays, we found out that there was 20 residents, seniors, who had just gone through an infestation in their building, and all of their beds and had been removed just because of it. And there was an 87-year-old lady on oxygen who was sleeping on her kitchen table. She would put a pillow between her arms and sleep on it. And it absolutely broke my heart, and really thankful for the community member who brought it to our attention. We were able through a great real estate agent in the area, Tim Salisbury. He stepped up and he donated our operational budget for the day to go out and just get beds to these individuals. So we were able to deliver a whole building full of mattresses to these individuals, who then no longer had to sleep on the floor. And I'm a pretty tough guy, but you know, you watch the faces when we were delivering, and you know, that, and that lady just sticks with me, David. She just sticks in my mind. She will for probably forever and a day. But watching her face and the joy and her, just the hope that she was able to get from that, and you know, the despair that she was living in up until that point, you know, just from an amazing community partner just saying, hey, you know what, let me cut you a check so you can go get this project done. I mean, that's an amazing thing. And our seniors slip through the cracks. We don't have supports for them. They don't have, you know, they don't have they have a fixed income, and, you know, their rent costs go up 4% each year. You know, they do suffer from the food costs that go up. They suffer from all the costs going up when their income stays the same. So, you know, for them to be able to afford these beds, they wouldn't have been able to, you know, they wouldn't have been able to scrape it together. But we were just through the kindness of a community member who just, you know, knew what we did and was able to tell him the story. He said, hey, here's a check, go get it done. You know, it's amazing to have that ability. And, you know, our fundraising plays right into that. So, you know, if there's someone out there that's, you know, it speaks to them or they want to know, I mean, you know, giving that opportunity back, and, you know, if they want to come along with us and get that piece as well. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to see. So, yeah. So again, I got a little sidetracked there, but our fundraising and our events and having belief in the products or the projects that we do is quite important to us.
So how many people are volunteering and on staff helping you in this process?
So our staff members, we sit around 15 staff members. And that's, you know, everyone from, you know, our administrator who answers the phone to make sure the bookings are in, to our head of operations, our head of finance, down through our internal referral specialists who are taking those individuals who are walking in, to our drivers and our assistants, our warehouse management team, you know, just to make sure. So, you know, everyone has a job, which is great. We're extremely proud of our team, you know, for what they do. I mean, they lift heavy things all day, every day. And the neat part about our team is, you know, there's not one person who won't jump in if necessary. You know, if someone's off sick or this and that, you know, our team jumps in and they help out. And it's, you know, even myself, you know, if I got to put the boots on and go for a drive, then I'm putting the boots on and going for a drive, because we need to do that. I can't get done the day and go, yeah, we let someone sleep on the floor tonight because we were short staffed. As far as volunteers, I mean, the pandemic was a little hard on us for volunteers. Again, we don't have a huge amount of space, and our work is very hands-on. So we would have a few volunteers from local agencies than actual people who just wanted to volunteer. Cicely was great. I mean, she brought together Brock University's social justice program so that they could come in and work on some furniture pieces for us, because they could be very social distanced. They wanted to, you know, do it after hours, not when we were at work, which is perfect for us. Our hope is to have our volunteer base increase, you know, as things kind of normalize and so to speak. But we keep the neat part about us, our processes and our standardizations and our sanitization was so high, just in the nature of what we do and what we collect and how we get them out, was so high to begin with when the pandemic did come. And the agencies did ask for, you know, what was our processes? How did we sanitize? How did we do this? Because it was so high, we were above and beyond what they were expecting for the pandemic, which was good for us, because we didn't have to, you know, reinvent the wheel too much. I mean, you know, we had to be a little bit more careful with transmission, but nothing with those processes. So our hope is to get our volunteers back in. And again, the more people we have engaged as volunteers, the more that word spreads to their groups and their friends, and it just keeps perpetuating on. So yeah, it's neat to have those, and it's great to have a great team too.
So can you take us behind the curtain a little bit, Matt? Is there something exciting coming down the road that you can give us a sneak peek at? That
I'm not too much of a sneak peek kind of guy. I get this all the time. It's my many years in corporate is, you know, you never count your chickens until the contract is signed.
That's smart.
But we do have some interesting things coming up. We have a grant that's sitting out there for a piece of equipment that would allow us to use recycled material to sanitize it and actually turn it into pillows. So we're really excited about it. Again, our reduction of waste per year is over 500,000 pounds that is diverted from a landfill. So
Can you say that again, please? One more time. Cause I love to hear that. Do that again.
So we divert over 500,000 pounds that would end up in our landfills, which is, I mean, it's an amazing number to say. I mean, the first time I looked at it, I was like, there is no way that we divert this much. But because we weigh things, again, it's how we, you know, our trucks have certain capacities, et cetera, right? So knowing that is great, but then there's some items that we'll get or some offcuts or things like this that we don't know what to do with. And we don't want, you know, as well as I do, I mean, I hate throwing stuff out. Like, I just hate it, you know. I'd rather give it to someone who can use it or turn it into something, you know, new and fantastic, right? So what we did find is that there was a few things that we could do that we were having left over that was going to go to landfill. And I just said, this is not right. We need to figure out how we can do this. There is a machinery, a piece of machinery out there that can do the job that we need it to do, both in sanitizing and, turning it into fauna, so shredding it into particulate that's big enough, and then we can use it to fill pillowcase, and we can get those pillows out to the shelters. Shelters go through pillows like water, but also in each one of our orders. And then the hope too is to on Amazon and things like that is to sell our pillows. So if somebody wants to either buy a pillow for someone, or if they want a pillow for themselves with this, you know, recycled material inside of it, then they can as well. So that project is really it's really cool for me because it just hits so many markers. Not only are we helping, but we're reducing our environmental impact. We're turning something old into something new. I mean, it just hits all the markers for me. We just have to wait for it all to come together.
And we'll keep
our fingers and toes crossed until that happens, because we believe in that. We believe in that ability for sure. So, yeah.
That's great. Yeah. That's exciting. I want to see this one. When it happens,
yeah.
I'd love to see the process. This is really exciting.
I will bring you in. I'll even get you to make a few pillows for me.
All right. Oh, yeah. See, you just got me to volunteer just like that.
Exactly.
You're good. You are good. Very good.
If you don't ask, you can never get, right? So that's why.
That's right. Yeah. So what, Matt, before we close off in a few minutes, what is one of the biggest things that you guys need right now, which would make things better overall for the furniture bank? Is there something specifically that people can think about or contemplate or jump in and help in some way?
Yeah. Honestly, the biggest thing, and I mean, I hate to say it because I wish it would be as easy as we need people to come in and, you know, sort some furniture for us or deliver. Again, it all comes down to dollars. You know, our budget last year, we budgeted for X. You know, we had a 41% increase in fuel prices this year, where you can't plan for it. So, you know, if someone's out there who's, you know, listening and, you know, really just believes in, you know, what you and I have talked about and in our organization, and if they want to learn more, I mean, I'm always happy to chat with people. But that is our biggest thing is just at the end of the day is dollars. You know, the more dollars that we receive, the more funding that we receive, the more individuals that we can help. And that's, you know, it's an unfortunate, It's an unfortunate nature of the beast. You know, we wish that part wasn't in there, but it plays the biggest part in how we can help. So it just boils down to that. So, you know, if you're a golfer and you want to golf, come golf in our golf tournament. You know, if you want to see, you know, if you want that letter, or you want to come and see that 87-year-old lady's reaction to getting off her kitchen table, you know, we'd love that donation as well. So yeah, that's where it comes down to.
So Matt, if you had the choice tomorrow morning's Monday morning,
yep.
You could go back to your corporate job, the security, the money, all the perks, the free coffee in the lunchroom and all of that, or you could go to Niagara Furniture Bank. I kind of think I know what you're going to say, but you have a choice. Which one would you pick?
It's an easy choice. Again, I'd pick helping my community over any corporate job any day. I mean, it was a very hard lesson for me to learn, and I learned it the very, very hard way through some personal tragedy, but I wouldn't change it any day. You know, I love to give back to my community. You know, I sit on several boards, you know, not only as the executive director for the Furniture Bank, but I sit on several boards for other charities. And I was just actually elected the co-chair for the Niagara Poverty Reduction Network for Niagara to work on the strategy for reducing poverty in Niagara. And, you know, every day that I wake up, if I can't do something to give back to my community or help someone else, it's a failed day. And so, yeah, when I wake up tomorrow, it's to get up to do those things, to help my community, to help one person at a time, one step forward at a time, because that's how we help.
It's very inspiring, Matt. I kind of felt you would go that way, but yeah, it's good. You and your team are doing something amazing in our community. And the fact that I get a chance to sit down and chat with you about it and share this with the people that are listening and interacting with the podcast is great, because you never know, like, this is evergreen, right? This is going to live for a long, long time on podcast world, wherever this is going, right? You never know who's going to listen to this.
No.
Who's going to hit play on this episode and go, yeah, I want to help. I want to be a part of this. I want to support. And, you know, it's exciting to think that there's a possibility of continued great things happening.
Yep.
You know, and this could have a small part in that.
Absolutely. Perpetuation is fantastic. And as I said throughout this, you know, surrounding yourself with the right people, without our team, without the people who believe in us, without, you know, our volunteers like Cicely and, you know, the other programs that we have and doing the great things. And then the community partners that are also doing the great things too, you know, we won't overcome this. So, you know, it's working together, it's collaborating together and having strong people around you. So, Dave, as much as you appreciate me having me on here, I appreciate you for this platform, for what you guys do and for helping us and getting our word out. I really do.
So, Matt, what's the best way for people to connect with you, with your team? If they have a question, if they want to support you, what's the easiest way for them to get in touch?
Easiest way is through our website. So, www.niagarafurniturebank.com. All our contact information's on there, our email address, which is office@niagarafurniturebank.com. Or they can call our office at 682-8371, area code 905, obviously. We love to perpetuate conversation and collaboration. And, you know, we love to hear from our community partners. And that's the easiest way to get in touch with us.
Yeah. Matt, I really appreciate your time.
Yeah.
Please say hi to everybody for us. We're looking forward to many, many great things. And I'd love to circle back maybe in the future and rejoice with some of the potential outcomes and some of the good stuff that's going to happen after a pandemic and just get it back to normal and hear some more stories, because I think the power of a story is the one thing that changes people, right? Absolutely. As the story you talked about with the woman on the kitchen table.
Absolutely.
A story changes people. So thank you for sharing your story with us.
Happy to share anytime, Dave. Thanks so much.
All right. Hey, great. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
This is Matt Cuthbert from the Niagara Furniture Bank. Everybody, go check him out and give him some support. Appreciate you. Have a great day.
Cheers. You too, Dave.
Thanks, Matt.
This has been the Upcycle Canada podcast. Thanks for listening today. We appreciate your feedback and would love to connect with you. Email your questions, comments, or suggestions to upcyclecanadapodcast@gmail.com. To find out more about our business and access links to all our social media sites, podcast notes, and more, please visit upcyclecanada.ca. A review of this episode on the podcast app of your choice is always appreciated. Please help us build this community by sharing our podcast with your family and friends. Our thanks to Jacob Moon for the instrumental backing track used in this podcast. Please visit jacobmoon.com for more on this talented Canadian artist. Join us again for more great topics, ideas, and practical steps to help you in your daily life. Thank you for listening. Let's keep this conversation going.